I'm Mandy Pressland. Thanks for joining us here on ABC News Radio. Hundreds have packed a town meeting in Alice Springs to voice their anger and frustration at the Northern Territory town's crime problem. Organisers are calling for more than $1 billion in compensation from the Northern Territory government in response to continuing crime in the town. This resident says the town meeting was called to an end after just 20 minutes as emotions started to run high.
Everyone was really good until someone started to get a little bit aggressive on the far side, so I couldn't hear what they were saying. But then that's obviously when they called the meeting too, because they didn't want aggression today. We weren't here about aggression. It was trying to make it better.
In response to the spike in crime, alcohol bans are now in force in Alice Springs with no sales yesterday or today. Richard Trudgeon is CEO of Y Warriors, a community development social enterprise company that empowers Yolngu and First Nations people. He's been working with Yolngu people in Arnhem Land for more than 50 years and joins us now. Thank you very much for your time, Richard.
Thanks, Mandy.
What have you made of the actions of the Northern Territory and federal governments to address the rising crime in Alice Springs?
Well, rather than commenting on that, I'd like to say we need to find the underlying cause to Aboriginal youth violence. And if we don't find that, then any of the interventions that are put in place are not going to go anywhere. And so that's what I've been concentrating on.
Well, the Northern Territory Police Commissioner last week conceded the Territory can't arrest its way out of the problem. Do you see that as a positive sign of progress, perhaps?
Yeah. The conversation is at last turning. It's a conversation that I've been involved in for over 30 years, trying to get people to see that this is all coming our way. This has happened. This is not new. This is a 200-year problem. It started around Port Jackson and... You look at the life of Uncle Jack Charles and you've got exactly the same problem, who passed away in Melbourne just a while ago. He was involved in exactly the same action as a young Aboriginal person. And it's spread right across the country. It's right across the country throughout Queensland, Western Australia, where people are at fear for their safety and for their private property, violation of their privacy and so forth. We've got to find the underlying cause. And that's what I want to concentrate on.
Well, as you said, the conversation is turning. There's now acknowledgement by many that the abuse of alcohol isn't the problem, but is a band-aid used to mask the impacts of intergenerational trauma. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I say there's three underlying major causes, which is the inherent structural violence relationship that exists between the original colonial people right from the beginning, but it flows through right through to today, your intergenerational transfer of trauma that has caused, and then another thing that people are not talking about, which is the intergenerational transfer of confusion that these young people are carrying with them and their people.
A lot of people wouldn't understand what intergenerational trauma is. How does it manifest? What do you see in First Nations people?
Well, if we just look over the history of 200 years, it's, the policy for the first almost 100 years was annihilation, just wipe out the people, open the lands for farming and all that sort of stuff. And then we went to forced assimilation where, okay, we've got to push these people now over into the mainstream English-speaking culture. And even things like, I know people in my lifetime, here in Arnhem Land, who were whipped for speaking their own language. So there's been a massive amount of trauma, and that trauma starts in the parents and the people who are facing it, and it gets handed on to children, just like the Viet returns who are coming back from Vietnam, handed on intergenerational trauma to their own children. And the levels of suicide and the levels of self-harm in those children are three or four times higher than it even was in the Vietnam vets. And so we've got a whole community of people out there now across Australia. As I say, it's right across. And they are dealing with this intergenerational transfer of trauma. But the bigger problem that continues to create the trauma is the intergenerational transfer of confusion. It's a bigger problem and it needs to be dealt with immediately.
So, Richard, with the people you work with, how do you go about helping them?
Okay, let me just try and explain it this way to give people an image of it. It's like you're born on the wrong side of the English-speaking community, right? And the government does nothing about that. In 200 years, there has not been one English learning program created for original Australian people speaking original Australian languages for them to learn now the mainstream language. Not once in 200 years. To me, that's a massive indictment. That leaves people with, leaves them with unable to access even the modern media, but access any information whatsoever or learn themselves about what this new culture is about. And a younger mother said to me one time when this was being discussed, we were speaking in language, so it was very nice and polite and it was very poetic and all that. And then she said in English, it's like traps of strangling weeds. And she says, like when you're in the billabong and you're trying to either swim across it or try to harvest food from it, and all of a sudden these weeds are wrapping around your arms and your legs and they're wanting to drag you under. And she said this confusion of trying to understand this new, what they call in Arnhem Land, Ballander mainstream English-speaking culture is just like that. But you can't get those weeds off you. You can't break through them. And you're left with so much confusion. And that leads to anger and that leads to kickback and violence. We've been talking about it for 30 years or more. And at last, the conversation is starting to turn that way, Mandy.
And what is the importance? How important is it that these issues are dealt with on country? We're now seeing alcohol abuse being talked about as a health issue rather than a law and order issue. Intergenerational trauma is obviously a health issue. Can those health issues be addressed best on country?
Well, they can be, but they can't be addressed by English-speaking people, doesn't matter how qualified they are or how well paid they are by the government, who come and then do 20-minute interviews with people in English. That's another form of trauma. So we're adding to the trauma by rolling out some of even these medical interventions. We're not waking up to the fact that these people speak an original Australian language, which we should be proud of, which we should be trying to hang on to. And let's celebrate that. And let's see that language not as primitive and backwards. They have grammar structures within their language that's much more complex than English, much more complex. But nobody studies it. Nobody knows it in the mainstream. And so the conversations always go back to the naming of the original settlers, how they named Aboriginal people. And they named Aboriginal people as primitive and as backward, as pagans and so on and so on. So I say it's that inherent structural violence that then gets transferred forward from generation to generation, unknowingly, innocently, but then that creates what we're seeing now in Alice Springs. The violence that's been seen across the country for 200 years has now come to the outback. It's now come to the last frontier, in a sense, in Central Australia and Katherine and so on. And we're also starting to see it here in the backwaters of Arnhem Land, the exact same violence where young people are saying to me, we hate Ballander, we hate English first language speaking people. And when I say to them, why do you hate them? Because that was never my experience with people when I lived with them. For 11 years straight out, the kids were in a great relationship with any expatriates that come in. And when I say to them, why do you hate them? They said, because they hate us. Now, that's the nub of the problem. You've got to go then down and dig down and find out why they're feeling that. And they're feeling that after a massive intervention, after a massive interjection of housing into their communities, as the population of expatriates doubled on all the communities in Arnhem Lands. But their parents lost their jobs because of that. We've got to start looking at that. We've got to start answering their questions, the people's questions, not some dreamt up education program in some English laboratory in Darwin or Canberra or anywhere else, answering their pet questions in language and answering them according to their curricula, or in other words, how they want them answered. That's the answer to this problem. Yes, it'll take a while, but if we don't start on it now, we won't be solving it.
Richard Trudgeon, good to get your perspective. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mandy.
Richard Trudgeon there, CEO of Why Warriors, a community development social enterprise company that empowers First Nations people. You are tuned to ABC News Radio with Eastern Daylight Time at 11:15. In South Australia, it's 11:15. Queensland, 10:15. The Northern Territory, 10:15. In the West, it's 8:15. Time for a check of our headlines.